The weekly study of the Watchtower helps all of Jehovah's people earthwide to remain spiritually strong and grow in love for God. Let's give our attention to Brother Jerry Wilkins and his participants as they present a summary of this week's Watchtower study.
I invite you to take out your Watchtower or navigate to your electronic copy to page 25. This is the August 2016 study edition. Last week's and this week's studies are interrelated. Last week we talked about how we train ourselves or we build ourselves up spiritually. This week, here's the theme. Do you see the need to train others? So now we're taking the spiritual strength that we've built in ourselves and giving it to others. The theme scripture is from Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 2. These are words penned by Solomon, but we know that Jehovah is the author and the inspirer of the scriptures, so we could say that these words come from him. Here he says, I will give you good instruction. So Jehovah gives us good instruction, and he expects that we would see the need to train others. Now let's look at the importance of training. Imagine this evening in your home, you have a medical emergency and you call 911. This is just imagining now. So you call 911 and two emergency medical technicians show up and they announce to you that they're on a new health program that's a learn-as-you-go, learn-on-the-job training. They've just been cashiers at a grocery store the day before and are now at your home to help you with your medical emergency. How would you feel? You're not touching me or my loved ones. What we expect from people who are doing a life-saving work is that they are properly trained, that they have proved themselves competent. Are we in a life-saving work? Yes, we are. And we're training new ones to do that same life-saving work. So let's be like Jehovah and give good instruction. Understand the importance of training new ones. We have 25 willing volunteers in the wings waiting to help you with this Watchtower summary. And what they're going to help us is to bring out these main points in the how would you answer box. We'll answer these three questions. Why should we build in Bible students a strong desire to study the scriptures personally? How can we help new ones to converse with householders and others? And why should efforts be made to train prospective shepherds of God's flock? So let's answer those questions. So let's go into paragraphs 1 and 2. The first question, why must we train others to take up theocratic assignments? Sister Johnson, please.
The number of people accepting the good news worldwide is growing. These ones, even though they're not baptized, need to see the need for regular personal Bible study. Following Jesus' example is set out in Matthew chapter 10, verses 5 to 7. We need to teach these ones to preach the good news and teach the truth. And brothers in the congregation need to be encouraged to work hard to qualify for appointment as ministerial servants and elders so as to be able to help these ones spiritually.
Thank you, Sister Johnson. Now let's go into our first subheading. Help new ones acquire strength and wisdom from God's word. Paragraphs 3 and 4, the A question. How did Paul connect study of the scriptures with a productive ministry? Sister Wilkins.
Well, we could participate in the ministry without much preparation, but it won't be very effective. So in Colossians 1, 9, and 10, Paul wanted the congregation to have accurate knowledge and a real spiritual comprehension in order to truly bear fruit in the field. And so we also must have a routine of Bible study in order to accomplish this, and the results of such a productive ministry is going to be pleasing Jehovah fully, and that really is a satisfying reward.
Thank you, Sister Wilkins. And the B question, before we encourage our students to study the Bible on their own, what must we be doing? Brother Todd Wilkins.
Well, the fact is that we must have good Bible study habits first. The paragraph brings out that in order to help others benefit from personal Bible study, we must first be convinced of its value. Just imagine how encouraging it could be if they see and hear the conviction in our expressions as we relate positive experiences we have had because of doing meaningful personal study.
Thanks very much. Now on to paragraph 5. Give a suggestion on how to help new ones to have a routine of personal Bible study. Mr. Sugar, please.
Well, a practical start would be showing them how to prepare the material that we are studying with them right now. We can show them how to use the appendix in the book, What Does the Bible Really Teach? And make sure that they know how to look up the cited scriptures in the material that they are reading. And we can encourage them to read every issue of the Watchtower and the Awake. And with their continuing progress, we can help them to set the goal of preparing for and commenting at the meetings. Soon, our Bible student will have a good routine and a true love for personal study.
Thanks, Sister Sugar, for those suggestions. Now on to paragraph 6A. How can you help your student to cultivate love for the Bible in his heart? Sister Wilkins.
If we use the tools provided by Jehovah through his faithful slave, this will help our students to gain a deep love for the Bible, and we will not need to resort to any sort of pressure tactics.
Thank you. And the B question. What is a Bible student likely to do if he develops heartfelt love for the scriptures? Brother Sugar.
They will feel confident with Jehovah being their protection. They might feel the same way as the psalmist when he's saying, drawing near to God is good for me. I have made the sovereign Lord Jehovah my refuge.
Thank you, Ashton. So do we see our first point from this subheading? We need to help new ones, train them to have strength and gain wisdom from God's word. All right, let's go on to paragraph 7 under the subheading, Train New Ones to Preach and Teach. The question on 7, how did Jesus train proclaimers of the good news? Brother Amelia.
Jesus showed the importance of covering the specific points, and Jesus also taught his apostles to preach effectively, and they listened to him carefully. And as the scripture in Matthew chapter 11, verse 1 says that when Jesus had finished giving instructions to his 12 disciples, he set out from there to teach and preach in their cities. So the group went out in the field and observed Jesus' methods. And also, the training that we receive will be more effective also if it is applied in our actions, just like in the ministry.
Thank you, Brother Amelia. So we have an end note to paragraph 7 as well. Sister McCormick, what did you find in that end note you'd like to share with us?
Well, there are 5 points. Point number 1 is preach the right message. Number 2 is Jehovah provides generously, so be content. And number 3, don't engage in arguments with householders. Point number 4 is when facing persecution, trust in Jehovah. And number 5, do not yield to fear, but suppress it with prayer.
Thanks, Sister McCormick. And Sister Nickel, what did you observe in the picture that's referenced in our question there?
The paragraph mentions that Jesus gave specific instruction. So in the picture, we see the brother helping his unbaptized publisher pack his briefcase with specific tools. We see that he has a Bible, a brochure, and a series of tracts. And maybe they've even reviewed some scriptures that they can use in the ministry. And finally, we notice that there's a notepad and paper so that he can keep track of the interest that's found.
Mm-hmm. Yes, good training indeed. All right, now we'll move on to 8 and 9, the A question. How did Jesus approach individuals in his ministry? Sister Ostapovich, please.
Well, whenever Jesus saw an opportunity to talk about the kingdom, he took it. He didn't discriminate against anyone. He spoke with women, tax collectors, and others whom society at the time looked down upon. He even spoke with those who had a negative view of him at first. And when Jesus conversed with them, he was lively and engaging, and this resulted in many of his listeners becoming believers.
Thanks. And the B question, how can we help new publishers to converse with people as Jesus did? Brother Ostapovich.
The endnote refers to the chapter, How to Improve Conversation Skills, from our benefit book. It offers suggestions such as being a good listener, asking viewpoint questions, and showing personal interest. So we can show these points to new publishers, but as well put them into practice in our own ministry so that they can see the good results.
Thank you very much for that. Now on to 10 to 12, the A question. How did Jesus cultivate the interest others showed in the good news? Brother Meinberg.
Well, first of all, Jesus took the time and effort he needed to really reach the heart of his listeners. We can see this by the words he said to Peter in Luke verses chapter 5 and verse 10, where he said, "Stop being afraid. From now on, you will be catching men alive." So this statement gave Peter the zeal that he needed and the motivation to change his life and really start following Jesus. We can also see his willingness to adapt in the example of Nicodemus. When Nicodemus had a little bit of fear of man, Jesus agreed to meet with him at night and away from the crowds so that he'd be a little bit more receptive. And so by doing these things, Jesus was able to effectively cultivate this interest.
Thank you. And the B question, how can we help new publishers to improve their skills as teachers of Bible truth? Sister Meinberg, please.
We would want to invite them to work with us in the ministry, especially on Bible studies and return visits. We would also want to teach them to persevere and be patient, to cultivate the interest that they find in the ministry, even though it may be slight. If we do this and commend them along the way for it, eventually they will want to conduct their own Bible studies.
Indeed. Thank you very much. So we have a box in this in these three paragraphs, referenced at the end of paragraph 12, entitled "Perseverance is Essential." What did you, what would you like to share with us from that box, Sister Gonzalez?
A brother in Ghana tried many times to find a young man who had accepted some Bible literature from him, but each time the young man hid from the brother. A few weeks later, the brother finally found him, but he tried to end the conversation. The brother still did not give up. He offered to show him how to study the Bible. The young man agreed, and from then on, he did not hide from Jehovah's Witnesses. A few months later, he was baptized at an assembly.
Thank you. Really an example of perseverance. So from this subheading, what do we learn? It's important that we train new ones to preach and teach. All right, so let's go on to our next subheading, train new ones to serve fellow believers. We have two read scriptures referenced. We'll have Sister Aquino read 1 Peter 1 and verse 22 for us.
That says that now you have purified yourselves by your obedience to the truth with an hypocritical brotherly affection as the result. Love one another intensely from the heart.
Thank you, Sister Aquino. And Luke 22, 24 to 27. Sister Foster, please.
However, there also arose a heated dispute among them over which one was considered to be the greatest. But he said to him, "The kings of the nations lord it over them, and those having authority over them are called benefactors. You, though, are not to be that way. But let the one who is the greatest among you become as the youngest, and the one taking the lead as the one ministering. For which one is greater, the one dining or the one serving? Is it not the one dining? But I am among you as the one serving."
Thank you, Sister Foster. So now we'll ask the question on 13 and 14, the A question. What do you think of the Bible examples of those who made great sacrifices in behalf of others? Sister Stevens, please.
Well, I think that if I applied the counsel at 1 Peter to love one another intensely from the heart, and at Luke to serve one another, then I could be more like the examples that we see here in the paragraph, like Jesus, who gave his whole life to the ministry, or like Dorcas, who was known to abound in good deeds, or Mary, who is said to have worked hard in the congregation.
Yes, thanks, Sister Stevens. And the B question, in what practical ways can you train new publishers and young ones to show love for their brothers and sisters? Brother Stevens.
Well, the scripture at Romans 12, verse 10 says, "In showing honor to one another, take the lead." So our congregation elders can set that pattern by taking the young publishers and new publishers along with them when they're visiting our dear older brothers and sisters, making sure that they have sufficient food and that their home is in good condition. But it's important to note that the admonition to take the lead in showing honor applies to the entire congregation, so we can all play a role in this.
Thank you very much. There's also a picture there, referenced in paragraphs 13 and 14. Sister Wilkins, what did you notice in that picture?
It looks like this is a mother and her daughter visiting an infirm sister. They all look very cheerful, but what led up to this scenario involved a lot of self-sacrifice. They became aware of the infirm sister's needs, perhaps either by perceiving it or maybe asking her what she required. Then they went and bought some groceries and made some homemade meals for her. This would have taken a lot of time and effort, but as we can see, they are very happy to be providing assistance, and the older sister is obviously appreciative. This is a good example of how to train younger ones to show love in the congregation.
Yes, thanks for that. Now on to paragraph 15. Why is it important that elders take an interest in the progress of men in the congregation? Brother Simchich.
Jehovah uses brothers as teachers in the congregation, and so elders can help ministerial servants improve their teaching ability by learning from the example of Nehemiah. So excellent suggestions are found in benefit from theocratic ministry school education. So a good teacher will, one, use the scriptures as a basis for their teaching. Next, clearly explain the verse by doing research from publications from the Faithful and Discreet Slave. Third, they can use an illustration to help understand. And fourth, put meaning into it by applying the information. By copying the example of Nehemiah, they'll help reach the hearts of the audience.
Thank you, Brother Simchich. And on to paragraph 16a. What interest did Paul take in the progress of Timothy? Sister Simchich, please.
Paul helped Timothy to be adequately qualified to teach others by working right alongside him. We know that to be the case because 2 Timothy 3 and 10 says that Timothy closely followed Paul's teachings and then later applied Paul's teachings or methods in his own ministry.
Thank you very much. And the B question on 16 and 17, how can the elders effectively train future shepherds of the congregation? Brother Foster, please.
Well, first of all, by following Paul's fine example when he taught Timothy, we can see that in Acts 6, verse 5, that because of that training, the congregations, they grow spiritually and they grew in number. So with elders today, we want to take every advantage to take those that are qualified ministerial servants out with us on shepherding calls, especially when ones are maybe sick, weak, maybe irregular in their service or ministry. We can go and help them. And by looking at our example, as we teach from the Bible and encourage them, and as we go follow on through, they can see the patience it's taken to bring these back and to recover spiritually. And they also see, as it brought out in 1 Peter 5 and 2, that it's done out of love. And so then they can apply it just like Timothy did in their own lives and teaching. And then, of course, we know from last week that there's 2,000 congregations every year on average. And so these ones will be qualified to lead the flock of God.
Yes, thanks for bringing in last week's study. That was quite a number, that 2,000 every year. So from this subheading, we see it's not just enough to train our new ones in the ministry and how to keep themselves spiritually strong, but also how to love and serve the congregation. Now in paragraph 18, under the subheading, The Importance of Training Others, the question on 18, why should training others in Jehovah's service be important to us? Sister Foster, please.
Well, Jehovah gave us the privilege to train others. And we have the examples of how Paul and Jesus taught others, so we can follow that, their examples. And we know that Jehovah wants his servants to be well trained. And we know that this training is very important because the needs and opportunities to serve Jehovah are increasing. And we know as the conditions in the world deteriorate, these needs will even become more important and more urgent.
Yes, thanks for that. On paragraph 19, why should you be convinced that your diligent efforts to train others in Jehovah's servants or service will be successful? Sister Davis.
Well, we know our efforts to train others will be successful because Jehovah and his beloved Son will give us the wisdom needed to provide such training. And as 1 Timothy 4:10 mentions, we have rested our hope on a living God who is the Savior of all sorts of men.
Yes, thanks, Sister Davis. So let's go to our review questions now. As we mentioned before, there's three of them. How would you answer? The first one, why should we build in Bible students a strong desire to study the scriptures personally? Brother Davis.
As we learn from Colossians 1, verse 9 and 10, it is by means of accurate knowledge that we are able to walk worthily of Jehovah in order to please him. Also, knowledge enables us to bear fruit in every good work. So how important it is that we have a routine of Bible study to gain accurate knowledge.
Thank you, Brother Davis. And the second review question, how can we help new ones to converse with householders and others? Brother Wilkins.
We must not underestimate our students' need to follow our good example in the ministry. Just as the faithful disciples look to and follow Jesus' lead in the ministry, our students will benefit the most by working regularly with experienced ones out in the field. They will see how speaking to the householder in a friendly, calm, relaxed manner, showing personal interest, can help honest-hearted people respond favorably to the kingdom message. By inviting them to work with us on our return visits and Bible studies, we can cultivate a desire not only to teach, but to teach.
Thank you. And our concluding question, why should efforts be made to train prospective shepherds of God's flock? Brother Nelson.
Well, as was mentioned, we have the vital growth and the amazing increases. So that's vitally important, this training, because of the opportunities to serve Jehovah. And also, Jehovah wants well-trained servants. You brought out an illustration in the beginning of somebody you would want to put your trust in. This is life-saving information we're giving people. Jehovah trains his servants well, but underneath the guidance of other servants. So this becomes an ongoing process. And third, as conditions deteriorate in the world, opportunities increase. We had an example of that on the plane. You know, these examples, people are searching. So this training becomes not only important, but it's vitally urgent also.
Thank you, Brother Nelson. We'd like to thank all of our volunteers for their fine preparation and enthusiastic delivery. So what did we learn this morning? Or this afternoon? I learned it's this afternoon. Let's ask our theme question again. Do you see the need to train others? If we tie our opening illustration in, how unkind it would be to take a new publisher and hand them a territory and put them in it and say, go in the service. We have to train them. We have to train them as Jesus trained his disciples. This is vitally important. We are given good instruction by Jehovah, so we should give good instruction to our students, whether that student be one of our children or someone that we've met in the field ministry. If we do this, brothers and sisters, this organization will continue to grow with the help of Jehovah's Spirit. And all of us, new ones and older ones, will be well trained, will be given good instruction by Jehovah. And if we are the trainers, we will be perfectly imitating our loving Father, Jehovah.
Brother Wilkins and all your participants, we thank you.